this is Michael James King coming to you from beautiful Round Town, USA, where one day a pastor said to his congregation, "I have bad news and good news, and extra bad news. The bad news is that the roof needs repairing. The good news is that we have all the money we need to pay for it." Appreciative murmurs all around the church. Then the reverend said, "The extra bad news is that the money's still in your pockets." This is yet another edition of God's Love Club, the podcast that talks about God's divine love and what it means for you today. We, as always, are giving a shout-out to Spirit-led believers everywhere and greeting them with a holy kiss. We confess Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, thank Him for His sacrifice on Calvary, and look forward to His soon appearing in the clouds. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that Your Holy Spirit lead and guide us as we talk to Your people, and that we deliver only Your word, uncut, uncolored, and direct to their hearts. We ask that You open their spirits and their understanding so that they will be able to understand what You're saying to this generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, my co-host with the Spirit-led most is the lovely Christy Smith, the darling of Round Town, USA. Christy is happy and well-adjusted in beautiful downtown Roundtown, where she believes without limits, prays for her family and friends, and treats everyone with loving kindness. The title of this podcast today is, "Let God Do What He Wants." Hi, Christy. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. I have this new sweatshirt on. It feels so nice and warm and fuzzy.
It's getting like sweatshirt weather here. Little by little.
Yeah.
It's very slowly,
beautiful, though.
It's
still, still sunny and clear outside. We're having a great time.
Yeah.
And we're just thankful that God is with us here in Round Town. I came here over 20 years ago, and at the time I didn't understand why, but now I do. Mm. And I'm thankful that God was able to move me where He wanted me to be before I understood it.
Yeah, that's right. Wow.
Today we're going to talk about the concept of doing what God wants you to do when He wants you to do it, and not having to understand why. In Christianity, lots of times we view ourselves as very reasonable people. You know, we're people of the book. We do what we understand of the scriptures, and therefore we study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. And so the emphasis has become on living our life based on what we understand. And that has been the standard model for centuries. In people, they scour the scriptures, they collate and systematize doctrine. We even call it systematic theology. We have hermeneutical principles that tell us how to interpret scripture based on scriptures, line upon line, precept upon precept. And we live our life according to what we know. And it's basically the knowledge of good. But what I'm proposing to you today to consider is to simply listen to the voice of God today and do what He wants you to do now. And don't think about it. Don't filter it through your natural reasoning. Simply trust God and do what He asks you to do. You know, when God first called me to come down here to Round Town, I had no idea what He really wanted. And so, according to my natural mind, I look at what was going on here and I surmised what I thought He wanted to do. And so that's how I set myself, and that's what I did. And it turned out that's not what He wanted to do. Had nothing to do with it, what He wanted to do. What He really wanted me to do was do something completely opposite.
Mm.
But that didn't become apparent until I first obeyed and came down here.
Right, and took the step. Yeah, exactly.
And we put ourselves in a rut of our own minds when we try to predetermine what God wants us to do and why. See, God doesn't feel that He has to share His reasons with us. He doesn't feel that He has to justify what He does with us. He treats us as valued servants that He just decrees that you should do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you need to do something else, He tells you the next step.
Right, exactly.
So I believe that we need to allow God to do what He wants to do, even if we do not understand it fully. What do you think?
I think there's a couple of reasons why God doesn't give us the full knowledge of what He's calling us into. Number one is because it's faith that pleases God. And when we obey him with what people call blind faith, it pleases him. It's not really blind because you're looking at the one who you trust. You're looking at the one who you know holds your life in his hands and controls everything and has good plans for you and has good intentions for you. And his heart is towards you and for you. So when you obey a God like that, there's trust. And the trust in him pleases him, because when we trust in him instead of what he's going to do, that's what pleases him. If he were to lay out our life for us and say, next week you're going to move to Cincinnati and you're going to have a really bad 3 months at first, you're going to feel like there's no job, but there is a job coming, and in 3 months you're going to get this job and it's going to pay this much and you're going to pay off all your debts, and then you're going to meet this wonderful woman and you're going to fall in love and live happily ever after, and he laid out the timeline, showed you the beautiful things that are coming, then it wouldn't really require a whole lot of confidence when you take the step to Cincinnati and things go bad, because you know, well, I've only got 89 days left and things are going to turn around, because you're trusting in what's going to happen instead of the God who's leading you. He doesn't want us to be so focused on what he's going to do that we get our eyes off of him. If our trust is in what we know he's going to do, then we become drawn to that and focused on earthly things. But if we know him and we know his heart for us and his nature and that his plans for us are good and he's going to work everything for our good, then we can keep our eyes on him. And if he says, step into this pit, then you say, okay, I don't know what's going to come out of it. It looks horrible to me. It's kind of scary, but I trust my father and I trust his heart for me and I trust that he's working everything for my good. And if he's requiring me to step into this pit for a reason, I trust him. And that's what pleases him, when he sees that we trust him. The other thing is that if we know where he's going, a lot of times we take control. Sometimes we feel like we just want God to tell us where we're heading, and then we want to grab the wheel and drive there. I got it from here, God. I'll just take it. And we take the reins and we try to manipulate things. We get the timing off. We try to control things the way we see that they should happen instead of trusting him. So he's very wise in saying, just follow me step by step, moment by moment, and I will lead you, and you can trust me. Keep your eyes on me, just like Peter getting out of the boat. When he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was fine. When he looked at everything around him is when he sank. And that's exactly how we need to live our lives. We also need to be living in the moment, and it's hard to live in the moment if we are not listening moment by moment by moment to what God is speaking to us.
One of the reasons God wants us to live in the moment is that, contrary to popular belief, the future is not set in stone. What God has to do is he has to make adjustments based on people's unbelief on the fly. Just like when the first time the children of Israel came to the River Jordan, he fully intended them to cross over into the Promised Land right then. They sent out the 12 spies, 10 reported with the evil report, 2 with a positive report. The people decided, through lack of faith, to believe the evil report. And so God was not able to do his perfect will. He sent them back into the wilderness for 40 years until that generation died off and a new generation arose that would fulfill his will. And so a lot of times God has a certain thing he wants to do, but it's dependent not just on you, but on other people cooperating too. And so what he has to do, he has to make adjustments to the path towards that perfect will. And if you're set like cement in a certain direction and he has to change it, there's a lot of breaking up that has to be done in order for you to do what he needs you to do now. And that really changes moment by moment. And he is guiding you towards a predetermined destination of the Promised Land, but how you get there has a lot to do with faith. Has a lot to do with what you do or what others do in connection to that thing he wants to accomplish. You know, predestination is where God predestines you, say, to be saved, okay? And I think everyone on earth is predestined to be saved.
I agree.
But through their actions and reactions and decisions and their natural mind, oftentimes it's a very convoluted path towards that predestined point. And God has to do a lot of different things and a lot of different figurings before you get there. So it's not set in stone. And you have to be moldable, malleable, changeable in order for God to do what he wants you to get to where he predestined you to be. And the same thing with God foretelling the future. He prophesies the future. Israel will be a peaceful place. The child will play on the hole of an asp and they'll not get harmed. The wolf will lay down with the lamb. Now, A lot of people think that God went to the future, saw that, and is just reporting it back, okay? But what if God is guiding mankind to the future he has decided will be, and mankind is being pulled by the Holy Spirit towards that good thing? Now, how they get there, well, that's all up in the air right now.
Yeah, really.
But they will get there. Whether it takes us 3,000 years, 4,000 years, 5,000 years, we will arrive at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who gets there is up in the question. But some person, some people will get there.
Yeah, wow, what a concept to think about. The story you mentioned of the Israelites going to the Promised Land is a picture of that. God said he was going to take them to the Promised Land, and he did. But some of the people didn't go. And it was because of their lack of faith, not because of God failing.
Exactly.
So those people that died in the wilderness, did they say, well, God promised we'd go to the Promised Land, and he didn't deliver? Was it God that failed? No, it was them and their lack of faith. You mentioned the spies that came back with a negative report versus the two that came back with a positive report. That makes a big difference. The way we see things, the way we expect from God. If we're constantly grumbling and complaining and not believing and thinking he's going to fail us and he's not going to follow through, he's not going to meet our needs, that puts us in a place where we can't really receive, because he doesn't honor that type of belief. He doesn't panic and make things happen in your life just to prove to you, no, I am a good God. I am a good God. He wants us to believe that he is. It's faith that pleases him. So when those two spies said, yeah, we can take this because God said we can take this, this is our land, that pleased him and they got to go in. But the ones who didn't believe didn't get to go in at all. And that's how we are in our lives. We have to be keeping our eyes on God and expecting him to fulfill what he says and expecting good things from him. A lot of what God does is just his own sovereignty, but a lot of what God does is motivated by our faith. Especially the things that he brings into our lives can really be affected by whether we believe he is going to be good and do what he says, or whether we see him as a God who's got a hammer ready to hit us and bring us bad things for every mistake that we make.
One of the difficulties in my life is that I've always tried to imagine what God was doing based on the limited information I've got. And when I try to extrapolate from the few facts that I know, I usually get it wrong, because God's picture, God's plan is so much more involved and grand than I imagine. I don't understand what he's really getting at. But I need to be in the place that he desires for me to be in order for that to happen, even if I don't understand it. And so part of letting go and letting God do what he wants is not trying to figure out what he's doing.
Exactly.
It's just doing it step by step. And you do the first step, and then he gives you the next step. But the second step is predicated on you doing the first step.
Mm.
You can't skip steps. And if God wants you in a certain place, he wants you with a certain person or a certain ministry, or he wants you to go to Timbuktu as your first step, that must be completed no matter how long it takes.
Mm-hmm.
There was not a second destination for Israel. There was only one place God wanted Israel, and that was in the Promised Land.
Mm-hmm.
He foreordained them to be in that place, and they needed to get that place no matter how long it took them. And once they were in that place, then God could do the next step.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, and Abraham is a picture of that too, because God called the family that Abraham was in to build this nation, but it actually started with Abraham's dad, Terah. Terah was the one that was called to go to Canaan.
Right.
And Terah only got part of the way and stopped in a place called Haran and settled there until he died. But Abraham picked up the mantle to go to Canaan and went after his father died. But the original call was for Terah. So we need to not think that we are indispensable. You know, if God is calling us to something and has a beautiful plan for our life and we decide we're not going to go, he might bless us for our partial faith and we can still get to heaven. But as far as the fullness of what he called us to, he'll just pass that on to someone else who will take up the mantle and do it. Give to someone else what he wanted to give you, because they're going to bear the fruits of it.
There's also this thing that Christians fall into, thinking that every day and in every way is supposed to be some supernatural event with all the commensurate great feelings and euphoria of God being present in your life and doing wonderful things. But the truth is that most days are very ordinary. You know, when Moses was tending sheep in Midian for 40 years, what did he do? Well, he got up in the morning, he put on his shoes and his clothes, had breakfast, and then he went and tended sheep. He did that all day until he brought the sheep back into the sheepfold, and then had some dinner, and then maybe washed up, took off his clothes, and went to bed. And he did that for 40 years. In that time, he got married, had some kids, did a whole lot of things that we don't understand, but they were very mundane. They weren't all these great things that he was going to do. That was preparation for what God wanted him to do when he was 80. He wanted him to go back and deliver the children of Israel. And so we forget that a lot of what God does in our life is very ordinary looking. It's very practical. It's very mundane. It's day-to-day stuff that we have to get through. And the big high points that come in our lives when we're serving God are not an everyday occurrence. They're every once in a while. And during those times of solitude or silence, we're building faith. We're being faithful. We're just carrying out on a day-by-day basis the little things that God wants us to do to get us into position to do the big things that he needs to do.
Exactly. Because life is not actually about the big things. Life and our calling is about the journey. And everything that we're doing to build up to bigger things is very important because it builds the character in us. It draws us near to him. When we do the little mundane things, you know, somebody rubs us the wrong way and we don't respond in kind, or when we are frustrated because we don't like the boring day that's ahead of us, and I don't feel like washing dishes, and I don't like my job today, and all those things that we just kind of keep doing when they're not especially thrilling, that's where, like you said, we meet him, and he builds us, and he strengthens us, and we grow. We're laying the stones on the path to where he wants to lead us. When we're thinking about the idea of letting God do what he wants, there's a letting, because God has given us the ability to control our own lives. And if we want to, we can take complete control of our lives and do everything the way that we want to do it. God is not going to force his will on us. He's not going to come and inhabit us and possess us like a demon possesses and force us to do things. He will only move as we yield to him. So we have to let him do what he wants to do. And that requires us releasing control. It's very difficult for us to just live moment by moment by moment. We think about a little child who gets up in the morning and has really no control over how their day goes. Oh, it's time to get your clothes on. We're going to go to the store. Oh, it's time to get in the car seat. It's time to get out of the car seat. Okay, it's time to take a nap. It's time to eat. Their whole life is dictated to them because their parents are caring for them, and their parents know what is good for them, and their parents have things that need to be done and need to be done for the child. That's really the way our lives need to be in God, is get up in the morning and find out what clothes he wants us to put on, where he wants us to go, who he wants us to talk to. But it requires us releasing control of our lives. It's very, very hard for most of us to release that control to God and just let him do what he wants.
The idea of servanthood is that we do what God wants us to do when he wants us to do it, with whomever he wants us to do it with. And this is not a partial servanthood. This is all the way submission to the will of God. And we are bought with a price. Mm-hmm. We are not our own. That is scripture. And what he's meaning is that because Jesus redeemed us with his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, with the shed blood, that price that Christ paid for us made us servants. When we come to God, we give up everything because he gives us eternal life. Mm. And we say, you know, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, we're with you. We're your servant. Just tell us. And then we become churched. We become Christianized. And then we bifurcate and partition and separate our lives from our spiritual life. And we give a portion to God, but we keep most of it for ourselves. And we believe that we have self-determination in all these different areas that everybody just kind of tacitly agrees that it's our business. But the truth is, nothing in our Christian life is our business. Where we live, whom we marry, where we work, how much we work, how many kids we have, if we buy a car, it doesn't matter. God is free at any point in our lives to lead and guide us. And when God calls us to a certain place, we go. It doesn't matter if it's the middle of desert by Mount Horeb. It doesn't matter if God wants us to marry a woman who was a former prostitute in order to make a point. It doesn't matter if God wants us to go and give our life for the gospel's sake and die at the hands of heathen. It's his business. And everything is his business. Literally everything in our lives is his business. And if you're holding any part of your life back, if you're in the driver's seat of any part of your life where he can't come in and say, no, I want you to do this, then you are not acting as a servant towards God. You are the king of your own life. You are the one in the driver's seat. This idea of submission has been somehow perverted into meaning that, well, we'll submit in the areas that are God's, but yeah, we'll do it what we want in the area that we consider ourselves.
Right. We have compartments in our lives. This part belongs to God. This part doesn't.
Yeah. And just get rid of the compartments. God has full sovereign right to do anything he wants to with you in any area he wants to. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, when you give up and you let God do what he wants to do, he ends up taking care of what you really wanted and what you really needed in ways that you never imagined.
Yes, exactly.
And better than you could have done yourself. You know, where I live presently is a very nice place. And I did everything wrong to get it. You know, I mean, me living here was not in the cards because I was busy trying to do what I felt God wanted me to do. I remember I was living in a 29-foot trailer for a lot of years, and we just made the best of it, and we kept following God and kept doing what he wanted us to do. And none of it composed saving money, putting away, building our credit, anything. And when it came time, he just issued this place to us.
Yeah.
When you do what God wants you to do, when he wants you to do it with whomever he wants to do it with, God knows you have need of things. He knows that you have desires in your heart, and he will simply give them to you when the time is right. Mm-hmm. You don't have to spend your time doing what you think is right to get what you want.
Exactly, and that is a salient point, because a lot of the teaching of the church throughout history has been God desires sacrifice. You die to yourself, which means you die, and you live a life that's dying, and you're miserable, and you're suffering, and that's what God wants. That's not true. God wants you to die to yourself because your own plans are what leads to death. Your right. own goals are what is destructive. His way is life. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and have it abundantly. How do we get that abundant life? We don't pursue it ourselves by our own thoughts and our own plans. We get that abundant life by dying to our plans and our lives and picking up his. I know there's different cultures all around the world, but in the United States especially, we have this idea of servanthood that relates back to the time in our country's history when we had slaves. And slaves were mistreated, and slaves didn't have any choice of their own. They just had to do what they were told. And thankfully, we've come past that in our country. But our thoughts, when we think about becoming a servant to God, relate to that. If I give myself to God, I'm going to lose all these things that I like about my life, all these plans that I have in my heart, and I'm going to have to go pick cotton in a field somewhere and work in the hot sun and just be miserable. We think that that's what the life of servanthood to God consists of, when the truth is, I lay down my own life and pick up what he has for me. That's where I get my abundant life. What happens is he creates in me the character that I need to be able to fulfill the purposes that he's called me to, and he molds and shapes my desires to become truly what is in alignment with me. We have to remember God created us, and he created us with desires and needs, and he created us uniquely from each other so that we can step into things that are unique to us and uniquely satisfying. Why would a God who created us give us a life and a calling that was not completely fit to how he created us? He knows exactly what he's created me for and the gifts that he's given me. So if I step fully into him, yield myself completely to him, follow him moment by moment, the path that that's going to lead me on is going to be abundant life that is going to fulfill me in a way that I am designed to be fulfilled. And outside people, outside sources, even my natural mind can't really accurately tell me what's going to fulfill me and satisfy me and give me the most abundant life, because I don't know myself as well as God does. Yielding to him is what's going to give me that abundant life. So our lives of servanthood to him that are completely yielded to him, letting go of our control, that's where we're actually going to have our desires met. But the thing about that is that they're going to be the true desires in our hearts and the purified desires as the Spirit of God moves in us and eliminates the things from our lives that we thought we wanted but we really didn't, and amplifies the desires that we've had since we've been little children that are his desires to bring us into the fullest life that we can possibly have.
A lot of times God is testing us to see whether or not we really have become the thing that he desires. You know, the Israelites, when they left Egypt, they left physically and they journeyed into the wilderness with Moses. But the problem is that a lot of them never left Egypt in their hearts. They still carried the thing of Egypt with them even into the wilderness, so that when Moses tarried on the mountain for 40 days, they became afraid. And instead of turning to God, who is the one that delivered them and showed them the miracles, they turned back to the things of Egypt. And even though they had been delivered, they made their own little Egypt right there in the wilderness. And they worshipped a golden calf. And they did abomination until when Moses came down, he was so overwrought with what they had done, he broke the original Ten Commandments into pieces. And God judged those who had led the children of Israel astray. And what we need to understand is that when God brings us out of a certain place, we need to leave physically, spiritually, and emotionally. If God has brought us into a wilderness, we need to go there. But everything with us needs to be with God. Mm-hmm, we can't leave a part of us back where it was, because God needs everything. He wants your whole person. He wants your whole attention. He wants everything that you are. And if you withhold vital aspects of your psyche, of your personality, of your desires, of your wants, and you leave them back in Egypt, God can't have them where he wants them and needs them right now. And you essentially are failing the thing that God is trying to do. And so when you let go and let God do what he wants, you got to do it 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a partial thing. You need to just go all in and commit fully and do the thing that God has led you to do.
And you can't second guess God and reason by your natural mind. You know, Abraham's a perfect example of what you just said. God promised him for years and years and years that he was going to have a son. And through that particular son, he was going to bless Abraham with multiple descendants. So Isaac came. This was the child of promise. And then there came a time when God said, I want you to sacrifice Isaac to me. Well, if Abraham was going by his natural mind, he would have to say, well, that's the devil. That's not God.
Exactly.
Because this is my son. And through him, I'm going to be blessed and I'm going to have many generations. If I kill him, that can't happen. So if his natural mind took over, he would say, well, that can't be God. I'm not going to obey God in that. But he led his life by faith, and he followed God by faith, trusting God, even if he didn't understand. The New Testament tells us that he reasoned that, well, if I kill him, God can raise him from the dead, because I absolutely believe that God said he's going to bless me through this child, and he will. But that belief, even in the promise that God had for him, did not keep him from doing something that seemed completely counterproductive to what God was calling him to. He was willing to kill Isaac. He had the knife raised above him and ready to sacrifice him because God asked him to. That's how we need to live our lives. A lot of times God doesn't want to take things away, but he wants us to release them fully so that he can bring us into the goodness of it. A lot of times he'll ask us to give something up for a season, but if we're holding on to it in our hearts, hoping that God will give it back to us, we've not fully let go. We have to raise that knife above everything in our life, so to speak, and say, God, I am willing to sacrifice anything for you, even if it seems counterintuitive to what you're calling me to. If this is what you're asking me to do, I will let go of everything. That's the total control that we give to God, and then we just allow him to do what he wants to do. When he sees that we're holding everything in our lives with an open hand, he can freely give us everything, because he knows that we're not going to hold on to it so dearly that we are going to forsake what he asks us to do. He doesn't have a problem blessing us. He doesn't have a problem giving us good things. He just wants us to hold them with an open hand so that he's free to do what he wants to do. Our lives are not our own, like you said. We need to release that control to him, no matter how it looks in our natural mind.
I remember when I was called to Bible college, a very specific calling. God just told me, I want you to go to Bible college. And I believed him so much that I quit engineering school, to the chagrin of my parents. And I went to Bible college, and I went to Bible college for like 4.5 years. And I was like 4 credits from graduating from Bible college. And then God brought me into an understanding that clashed with my Bible college and my pastor. And in order for me to finish Bible college, I had to deny what God was doing with me to get in line with them, because they weren't going to let me finish if I didn't agree with them. And I had a decision to make. Now, if I had stuck with the thing, well, God told me I should go to Bible college, so I need to finish it, then I would have denied what he was doing at that point. And what I chose to do is just to believe what God said. And sure enough, with 4 credits to graduate, they wouldn't let me do it. And I talked with them, and I went round and round with them, and they would not budge. But God would not budge either. Though he told me to go to Bible college, he did something right at the last minute that didn't allow me to graduate from that institution. Now, in hindsight, I understand why he did that, but I had no idea what he was doing at the time. And it seemed like, wow, I just wasted, 4.5 years of my life for this degree that I'm not going to get. But it turned out that the school and the Bible college went down the tubes, became a byword in the land. And a piece of paper from that particular Bible college would have been a detriment instead of a help.
Wow.
Hindsight's 20/20. Mm-hmm. and I couldn't see it then, but I just had to do what God wanted me to do.
Exactly.
So in your own life today, it's not that you have to be set in stone with anything with God. God may ask you to do one thing today, and then he may ask you to do the opposite tomorrow. It's not that he's confused. Is that circumstances have changed. He still wants to accomplish a very specific thing in your life, either in your life or for somebody else's life or for his will in general. But the circumstances around you have changed, and so he needs to do something slightly different to get you there.
Yeah.
And it's not incongruous.
No, it's not.
It's not a confusion. It's just the reality of a very complex plan that he's trying to put into place so that we will reach a predestined destination as he desires.
That's right. And only a sovereign, all-powerful God can allow human beings to have complete free will and still accomplish his purposes. And everything that we are called to in our lives, no man is an island unto himself. Everything that we are called to involves other people. So to the extent that everybody else in our lives that's called to be with us and what we're doing obeys, it goes a certain way. But if we're called to be with 4 other people to accomplish a goal and 2 of those people decide not to do it,
exactly.
Either you go on with the ones you have or God brings other ones. Things sometimes have to change and mold to fit with what God wants. Our responsibility is to yield ourselves to him and just let him do what he wants to do. Let him move how he wants to move.
What you have to ask yourself today is, how honest are you going to be with yourself and God? God's asking you to do a certain thing. He's called you to do a certain thing, and you know it in your heart. But because there's certain aspects of it that don't quite fit your agenda, that you're kind of uncomfortable with, you're trying to figure out, okay, how can I have what I want and do what he wants simultaneously?
Yeah.
When the things are pretty much mutually exclusive. And so you're trying to think, okay, can I finesse what he wants me to do so I can kind of fit what I want to do? I'll give a little bit up about what I want to do, and so maybe we can kind of do ecumenical, God's will with me right here. And I'm here to tell you, in no uncertain terms, that is a bunch of bull. That is not what God wants. God has very specific things for you to do, and you need to do it. Partial obedience to God is about as good as going halfway to Horeb and camping. It's still in the middle of the wilderness. There's no water, there's no shelter, it's no good thing out there. You need to go the distance with God or never leave Egypt.
Exactly, yeah.
Don't sit there in the middle of the desert because you didn't have the fortitude to go the distance with God. It'd be better that you never left. God is not an a la carte God. You can't just pick and choose what you want to follow. It's all or nothing with him. You're not going to live your life even unto the death if you follow God. He's going to require everything from you.
Mm-hmm.
In these latter days, some are going to face horrendous decisions. And by God's grace, they will make the good ones. But it's not easy. It was never intended to be easy. Christ gave everything on the cross. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that provides the example. And if that is the example, then plan on giving up whatever makes you feel good and do what God wants. And in that sacrifice to do what God wants, God will make sure your needs are met.
Yes.
If you're the ox that is treading out God's corn, God is not going to muzzle you. He's going to make sure that during the work that you're doing, you're getting the feed you need.
Yes.
And he's going to bless you as you're doing his will. Whereas if you decide you're going to do your will, he's not going to bless you because he's not authored that. We need to get real. Sacrifice means doing what he wants you to do rather than what you want to do, or rather than what others want you to do. God gets to decide, and you do what he wants. That's the whole nine yards with God. You see, God is so focused on faith. He's so focused on doing things like the cross that make absolutely no sense to the natural man. Because why? Because in the Garden of Eden, God gave us one simple commandment. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we ignored him. One simple commandment. He gave us every other tree of the garden. He gave us the whole of Eden to run around in. And we had to do the one thing that he said not to do. And we did it because we didn't believe him. We believed the devil over what he said. And so what did he do? He made the way back to him that you had to absolutely believe what he said and do what he said this time.
Yeah.
When it makes no sense to the natural mind. And you have to enter heaven through faith, because we lost Eden through unbelief.
Wow, that's right. And through striving through our own understanding of what is good and evil. The same thing happened with the Pharisees in Jesus' time. They were working so hard to understand good and evil, studied the word, studied the scriptures, trying to find eternal life in them, not recognizing they were pointing to Jesus. And when Jesus showed up, they didn't recognize him. The very presence of God in human form was right in front of them, and they claimed to know God, but the God they knew was a God that they extrapolated from their own reasoning, understanding, from their understanding of the word. It wasn't the one that the Spirit was leading them to. If they had been following the Spirit of God and pressing into the Spirit of God, they would have recognized him the way that Anna and Simon recognized Jesus in the temple when he was a baby. Because they recognized him by the Spirit, because the Spirit of God was in them and in him. That's exactly how we need to follow God. Like you said, we've gone beyond the knowledge of good and evil. We weren't supposed to pursue life that way anyway. We are supposed to pursue life through faith and trusting God and believing every word that comes out of his mouth moment by moment.
In the coming move of God, in the tabernacle experience, it is designed from the ground up to stumble your natural mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're going to go by what seems right to you, you will not accept the love of God, because most of what you hold sacred is a bunch of do's and don'ts. And God doesn't subscribe to your idea of propriety. God made the heavens and the earth and all that is therein, and it's all his, and he gets to do whatever he wants to with it. And so this coming move of God is a bit like the cross of Calvary. It's designed to stumble the natural-minded. It's designed to prevent those who only go by what they think is right, that they can't accept what God is doing. Because God only wants you to come to him through faith, mm-hmm. and not by your own righteousness, not by what you think is proper and acceptable. He wants you to come to him purely because you recognize his voice and you believe him. And so he does stuff that if you have an ounce of natural-mindedness in you, you're just not going to accept it. It's its own filter. And this tabernacle movement that is coming, this divine love, this expression of divine love, you're either going to jettison your natural mind or you're not going to accept it. And in not accepting it, you're going to miss the Son of God manifest again in the earth.
Yeah, and there's a warning in the book of Proverbs. It's full of wisdom that says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. So we need to take caution that the ways that seem right to us, not only are they a lot of times very wrong, but they're very destructive and they lead to death. We have to follow by faith the way that God is leading and completely disregard what seems right to us.
There is a wave of strong delusion that is engulfed the earth right now. And most people, they don't understand it because they haven't lived long enough to experience the change. But right now, we are being sucked in to a time where light is called darkness, mm-hmm. and darkness is called light. Truth no longer matters. Common decency isn't recognized as common decency. You know, the time when everybody agreed that it was wrong to kill a child is past.
Yeah.
Now it's their right to terminate pregnancies. And most people think that that is wisdom. Most think that it is something they have to fight to preserve instead of weep because they've done it. We are in it and we don't recognize it. And the only thing that is going to illuminate this profound darkness that we're in is a profound revelation of Jesus Christ. We need the Holy Spirit to shine in us and through us so brightly that it pierces this veil of night that has fallen upon the whole world. It's the only thing that will prevent you from accepting the Antichrist, because the Antichrist is the epitome of the natural-minded man. It is everything a natural-minded man thinks that God should be. That's why it's the instead of Christ. Mm. People that don't know God are going to accept him as God. The problem is that that's Satan incarnate. It's the man of sin, a son of perdition, and it is evil on a scale that we have never known on this earth. And I am warning you by the Holy Spirit right now, take this time to stock up on oil of the Holy Spirit. Take this time to practice yielding to God and not your natural mind.
Yes.
Make it easier on yourself that when the really hard decisions come, you'll be practiced of going with God instead of what you think is best.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because it's the only thing that will save you and possibly your family in the future. It is nearer than we think.
And learning to hear the voice of God now and becoming so familiar with it is going to help us in those critical moments when someone says, do this, and our spirits rise up and say, no, that's not my Father's voice. Oh, but sure it is. This is the right thing. This is what everybody's doing. This is the way that leads to peace. But we can know, if we know the voice of our Father, when it is His leading and when it's not. And it's very important, like you said, to take this time now to practice learning that and discerning that so that when that moment comes, we're ready.
And that moment is not that far off. People think that all things have continued as they have from the times of our fathers, but there comes a day when the first drops fall. And by that time, it's all over. You've cast your lot. One side or the other. You know, God shut up the ark 7 days before it actually began to rain. And all the people were just going about their daily business, thinking that all things were just going to continue until it started raining. And it kept raining. And it rained harder and harder until the water started rising. But by that time, it was too late. You were either in the ark or you were out of the ark. And those out of the ark perished, every one of them. None survived. So what we're trying to do now is we're trying to encourage you to let God do what He wants with you today so that you begin to learn the voice of God for yourself, so that you become comfortable trusting the Holy Spirit more than you trust your natural mind. This is the way forward for every Christian on the face of the earth. And if you do this, you will have a better chance of knowing who God is when the darkness gets really, really intense. What I see is that there's this strong delusion. People believe in things that are just ludicrous. They have no reason anymore. And people are losing touch with reality. They're losing touch with God. And they're just believing in inane things, and they don't realize it. What we're witnessing is strong delusion taking hold of our lives in the point where we don't even understand what is right anymore. We don't understand what is good anymore, what is sensible, what is delightful. We've lost touch with God, and now we're losing touch with reality, and that has consequences.
Yeah, it says in Romans 1 that once people make a choice to follow after their natural lusts rather than following God, there comes a point when He just gives them over, and then their deception falls darker and darker and darker, and all over the world we see that happening, and it happens sometimes on a national basis, but it happens within individuals, and each individual has a choice to make. Am I going to listen to the voice of God, or am I going to fall to the delusion and the deception that's around me? We have to be able to hear and clearly discern the voice of God and not be eager to hear any voice except our Father's voice, because there's going to be voices all over the world, everywhere in your life, that are telling you things. Some of them are going to be speaking in congruency with your Father's voice, and some are going to go against it. We have to be able to discern the difference, and it doesn't matter how reasonable it is. It doesn't matter how clearly somebody presents to you an argument of why you should do something, why you should believe something. If it's not your Father's voice, you can't follow it. We have to be eager to only hear the voice of God and do what He tells us to do, and then let Him do what it is that He wants to do. Release control of our lives to Him and let Him do whatever it is that He wants to do with us.
The true shelter from the coming storm is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that shelter consists of just listening to his voice moment by moment throughout the day and doing what he wants you to do. That is how you will be protected in this coming flood of filth. We're trying to sound the alarm and raise the warning to those who have ears to hear so that we will be prepared and hide themselves in God from the coming flood of darkness.
That's right, yeah. You know, a beautiful example of that is a friend that you and I have that lives in an Arabic country. She's recently saved, and she's not been able to find a church because the churches there are very political, and they're not helping her in her walk. But she has a very strong, growing relationship with God. And there was one morning when she was praying, and God showed her a picture of something that was coming that day and said, "Don't take this road. You're going to be offered this. Don't do that." And that opportunity came, and because it was the way she always did things, she disobeyed the voice of God, and she did it anyway. And it turned out to be something very difficult for her and very destructive, and she repented and really is taking it as a learning lesson. But that's the way we need to live our lives. You know, if we are so dependent on our churches and our pastors for every decision we make, then when we get to those cruxes in our life where there's a choice offered and we have to go right or left, we're not going to necessarily have the time to pick up the phone and ask the pastor, "Which way should I go?" That's not the way God intends us to live. We're supposed to be led by his Spirit. So connecting with him in a daily way where we're listening to him all throughout the day is going to help us when we get to those choices to keep us from those paths of destruction. Like you said, that's the way. It comes from a personal relationship with God, living in him moment by moment, listening to his voice. It's wonderful to surround yourself with other believers. It's wonderful to belong to a church, to have a pastor pour into your life, but none of that should ever supersede the voice of God in your life.
Amen. So in conclusion, let God do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, with whomever he wants you to do it with. Stop directing your own life and start living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, moment by moment, day by day. Become a Christian who is a true servant of the Most High. Do what he wants you to do. Don't try to figure it out yourself. It's one step at a time, and each step is important to lead to the next step. And God's not going to tell you the end from the beginning, other than to say that if you believe on him, you shall be saved. But how you're going to get to that salvation ultimately in the new heavens and new earth is known only to him. And he needs you just to do what he wants you to do when he wants to do it, so that his plan can function as designed. And this is the path of a true Christian. If you want to be serious with God, I mean really serious and not just mumble the words in church, if you want to get doing the will of God and being a true manifestation of his Son here on earth, this is how you will live. You will listen to him, and you only do the things he says and the things that you see him doing.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's about all we have time for in God's Love Club. And we appreciate you being here. You've been an intrepid listener, and we're going to give you a gold star for your collection today. God is really happy with you. You know, you are somebody who really follows after God, and you stick with it. You listen to all this today, and even though some of it may have been hard to hear, you're open to be washed by the water of his word.
Yeah.
You're open to hear what his Spirit is saying to this generation. And that is commendable, and God sees your heart, and God will honor that heart with good things to come.
Yes, he will.
There's a person over in Belarus. You're listening to this podcast, and it's really impacting you. And you're wondering, well, what can I do? Well, it's very simple. Today, you pray and you say, "Lord, I've heard your word. Now I'm open to do what you want me to do. Just lead and guide me and direct me, and whatever you say, I will do." And then God will speak to you. It may feel funny, but you'll just decide that whatever he tells you, you're going to go do. And you'll see what happens. Then the next step, he'll tell you something different. So just go for it. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it. Just do what God tells you to do and see what happens. We'd love to hear from you, too. It's always exciting when we hear from people that have been following what God says.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and there's a man in Russia that's been listening, and you're listening today and feeling like there's so many obstacles and circumstances in your life that will prevent you from allowing God to do what you feel he wants to do. And I just want to encourage you, there's nothing too big for God. There's nothing that he can't overcome. The circumstances surrounding your life are nothing to him. And if you would just release control to him and let him do what he wants to do and listen to him and just obey him in the very little things that he instructs you to do, you're going to see walls fall down around you and circumstances change. And he's going to bring to pass the things that he's promised you.
Amen. And for all those girls out there that are wondering whether they should date a certain guy, simply ask God and do what he says. I don't care how far down the aisle you are. If God says no, that means no.
Yeah.
I don't care how unlikely your love looks. If God says yes, that means yes. Obstacles are not obstacles to God. They're only obstacles to people that don't believe in God.
Exactly.
So just go with what he says. Trust him. And I guarantee you, it will work out for the best. Amen.
Amen.
Well, have a great week. We love you. And let God lead and guide you right now, today, after you get done with this podcast. Mm-hmm. Ask him what he wants you to do, and then go ahead and do it.
Amen. See what happens. Amen. It'll be good.
Have a great day. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.